Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success. And actually, what I was going to say, this is Set for Success, and I'm your host, Richard Lannan. I just repeated it twice. Usually when I start the show, I do try to say the same thing all the time and say what we're all about. I'm trying to make some changes in the show from that perspective, but we are here to help you create a roadmap to transform your business career or life or change your business career or life. So that continues to be true. Nothing has changed there. As we want to have you be set for success, whatever that means to you. Winston Churchill once said, success is not final, failure is not fatal, it's the courage to continue that counts. I've always loved that particular expression. I think it's so true for many, many, many people, whether you're in your youth, middle-aged, or senior. But success comes in many forms, in particular through an investment in people, whether a son or a daughter, through providing a strong, loving, supportive role models and family environment, in the classroom where academics and trades are embraced to develop the professionals of tomorrow, or in communities where the investment is made to create opportunities for people who may not be living in the best situation. Success comes in many, many forms. Sometimes it means changing the way that we think, the words that we use, and how we treat people or the way we do things. When it comes to success, I think Winston Churchill is correct. The courage to continue, to admit failure, to ask for help, to offer help, and to move on counts. And that's your Set for Success thought today. My guest today is Carol Paul, Executive Director of Manitoba Construction Sector Council. Carol, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do have all the right titles and everything correct, lined up and everything.
Yes, you do.
I do. Well, it's really important, actually, that we make sure that we get those things correct. I know just before we kicked off the show, I was struggling a little bit with the Manitoba Construction Sector Council name and all the variations. But before we start talking about the organization that you're with and you represent, let's talk a little bit about you, Carol. Carol, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. My name is Carol Paul. I live in Winnipeg, Manitoba. My background is in adult education. I started out in the elementary school teaching and came to realize after I had my own children that it might be kind of difficult coming home at the end of each day to the children after teaching them all day. So I changed route in my career and went back to school to get my master's in adult education.
So that's something you and I share in common. I've been involved in adult education. We were talking about just before we kicked off the show, I don't know, for 30 years or more, right? And it was sort of the same epiphany. I was studying at Simon Fraser University at the time. I'm a graduate of the University of Manitoba, but I was studying education at Simon Fraser University, and I sat back and went, you know, I don't want to teach kids. I don't want to teach teenagers in high school. I want to work with adults. So I understand that sort of like, no, I think I want to make sure I'm more involved in this side of things. Sorry, I just wanted to share.
Yeah. Well, and I was really passionate always about working with underrepresented groups. And one of my first experiences was working at the Immigrant Center teaching new immigrants how to speak English.
So that was here in Winnipeg, Manitoba?
Yes, it was.
How long did you do that for?
Just over a summer. I often did contract work while I was going to school. I was the training coordinator for Sears stores for a while. And then I was approached by Urban Circle Training Center when it was in the inception phase. Eleanor Thompson gave me a call and asked if I would be interested in teaching Indigenous adults to help them get off social assistance and find employment.
So have you been working with Indigenous adults now for the bulk of your career?
Yes. That career dated back to 1991. I'm aging myself now. Yeah. I was at Urban Circle. We started
You're doing
with...
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
We started with 12 students volunteering, or 12 adults, women volunteering in a clothing depot, and we found them all jobs in retail. So that was a government initiative, and it grew from these 12 women to a $1.4 million building on Selkirk Avenue and 150 students.
That's absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Were you, so you were part of the educators of that. Is that the right way to phrase that?
Yeah. We were a very small group to begin. As I said, 12 students. I was the academic instructor and workplace coordinator, and I was there for 14 years before.
My gosh, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Sorry. I travel all over the place, so I find 14 years to be a long time.
Yeah. And I was always in other jobs. That's why it's always hard to describe what I've done, because I've been in teaching at the University of Manitoba, University of Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Again, looking at I was teaching alternative education, English literature, but I always adapted curriculum to suit the audience that I taught.
Well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because often whatever work we do, whether we own our own business or we're in a career, it's often, and I think sometimes this point gets missed, it's often about the people that you serve. It's not about you.
Right.
And that's a big thing.
Right. And it took me a long time to come to realize that I worked better outside of institutions than I did within them. The number of jobs that I had within educational institutions and industry, I came to realize I was best on the outside of a system because I could influence change.
Oh, that's actually quite an interesting epiphany, you know, because when you can actually influence change. When do you think in your career that you sort of figured that out? Like, when did you have that moment where the light bulb went on?
I think there was little nuggets all the way through my career where I kind of thought, why wasn't I fitting in? And it really wasn't about fitting in as much as it was defining myself.
You know, that's actually a really great observation, because I think in careers or in business or even jobs, people are, or in school, people are like, well, I really need to fit in. And to sort of recognize that it's really something else, that's actually quite important.
Yeah, I work very closely with Assiniboine Community College, Red River, Manitoba Institute of Trades and Technology, and University College of the North. Those four institutions recognize my contribution because I'm the one on the outside that's so passionate about change.
Yeah.
And sometimes they are confined by the systems that they're created, right? So it's been interesting journey working with them to make change happen.
You know, it's interesting you would say that because, again, it's something you and I share. I've worked inside of organizations similar to yourself, and then I've worked outside of organizations. And I, too, have that sort of, I don't know if we call it a gene but inside me where I recognize that I'm far better to be doing something like this and teaching at a university or working with an organization. I can influence change with a direction, or I can help them create a roadmap to sort of move forward, which is awesome. You know, you get to work with all sorts of different people and you see the kind of success that they can have.
Right. And now as an executive director, I'm not so much in the trenches, but I still enjoy being part of it. I'm really passionate about working with Indigenous people to help make changes in their life, because I saw what I felt like when I was younger, when I didn't fit in. I was the kind of person that traveled across Canada because my father was in construction, actually. And I saw myself not fitting in and realized that was the best thing that could have happened to me. So I really try to influence other people who are disadvantaged.
So we can actually say here that this could be a set for success tip. Sometimes not fitting in is a good thing.
Yes. You know, I agree.
Yeah. So, and you've managed to identify that. I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I think we should talk about the organization you represent. This is Richard Lanham for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I am hanging out today with Carol Paul. We were just talking a little bit about not fitting in. And I just thought, Carol, that was such a cool way to say it. I discovered that I didn't fit in, and that was okay. So can maybe let's explore that a little bit more. So what did that overall mean to you?
For me, it meant that, you know, having grown up as a child, I moved from Toronto to Halifax, back to Toronto, and then to Winnipeg. And it was really a challenge knowing that I was always going to move again and figuring, well, why would I bother to fit in, really?
Yeah.
And so once I landed in Winnipeg, I had to come and recognize what are my strengths and where's my passion lie. And that's really been where I've taken my career, is finding that passion. So when I was, you know, working in the school system, working in the university system, I came to realize that I could influence change better outside of a system, whether it be policies that I didn't agree with or advocacy that didn't happen. I was able to make that change happen when I was outside the system better than when I was within.
So would you say then that you're a person that has like a sense of mission?
I believe so. And that took many years. I mean, certainly I thought in my 20s I was this mature adult, and I had reached, you know, my fullest potential at 25. And, you know, here I am in my 50s now looking at, wow, I'm just beginning to learn who I am as a person and what I need to achieve my goals.
Yes.
And I think it's really important that I'm honest to myself and honest with those people around me. I'm never afraid to admit to a mistake, but also not afraid to take a risk.
So almost my quote for Winston Churchill is sort of fitting for you.
It is.
Right? It's sort of, you know, it's sort of like that courage to move forward. Failure is not fatal, and whatever the other success part was. Sorry, Winston. I'd have to look it up now, but
yeah.
that sort of fits in there. I find it very interesting. Now, we are going to talk about your organization and work you're doing today, but I find it very interesting you talked about redefining yourself and in your 50s. right?
Mm-hmm.
And being, I'm going to use the word candid. I think you used the word a little bit more honest.
Mm-hmm.
Can we explore that a little bit? What has that meant for you in your life today?
Well, one of the things when I came to realize is that I was, you know, as a young person, I was living with many negative messages that people told me who I was. They were defining who I was. And I had to come to terms with that because it defined who I was. So, for example, in elementary school, I was told by a grade 4 teacher, I'll never forget, you are not good at math.
You know, it's amazing how that happens, right? We come from a similar generation, and I've been told a few things too, but go ahead with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So as I became an adult, that message was reinforced. So I really believed that I wasn't good at math. Well, suddenly I was faced as a teacher having to teach math. Well, how could I possibly teach math if I wasn't good at it?
Mm.
So I actually had to rewrite that tape and get rid of that negative message. So I've used my teachings to help others. Because I said, at what point did somebody tell you you weren't good at that?
Yeah.
That, as soon as you identify that and rewrite that message and reinforce that message, you can change who you are as an adult.
It does shift who you are, isn't
yes.
it? It's almost like, you almost end up, I don't know if the word is lateral shift, but it's almost like you end up advancing, but standing beside yourself. And the person beside you is no longer, the former person beside you is no longer relevant. Sorry, this
yes.
is a visual I have in my mind
it is.
When I think
and,
about that.
Yeah, and finding other people who reinforce that new message.
It's interesting you would say that. I was just chatting with my friend last night. I was out for coffee with my friend Rick. Hi, Rick. And we were talking about a similar thing, right, where you're looking at messaging and looking about how you actually perceive yourself and particularly picking and choosing the people who you're friends with.
That's right.
To reinforce the message. You can
pick
good
yeah.
people or bad people.
That's right. And finding the many mentors that support you, not just one mentor, but many mentors in your life. As you go through your life, you'll find new mentors depending on what you need to find. My current mentor is my chair of my board, Colleen Monroe with Hugh Monroe Construction.
Yeah.
And she's the person that really allows me to take those risks and not be afraid of allowing change to happen and knowing that you'll make mistakes along the way, but that's okay because you're moving forward and you're influencing change for the better for your audience, who are in this case our Indigenous communities.
Yeah, and I agree in that whole mentorship thing. I often, when I was a young man, I spent a lot of time in my late 20s thinking about mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if a lot of people do, but I did. And I came to the realization, and maybe you can give me some thoughts on this. I think it's sort of a relationship. It's a two-way relationship, right? So I often think that people pick their mentors, but their mentors pick the person they're going to mentor. But I probably think the person that needs the mentorship is more likely to pick their mentor than the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I think the mentor sometimes has to recognize that, this person needs me.
Right.
And then they have to accept whether they're going to help them or not.
Right. And sometimes also is other people see the gifts in you far before you see them in yourself. So, I've met with many, highly trained professional immigrants, and they've sat with me and just chatted. And I don't need their resume. I don't need anything. I just need the same conversation as you are having today to find out who they are and what do they need to get to where they're going. So I will suggest to them mentors that they may want to contact, friends of mine that may help them find the direction that they need to go.
Yeah, and if they can define that, that really helps. It's interesting because one of the conversations, questions, and I have to ask it. It's really funny. I actually have to ask this question of people, but what do you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually more interested in who are you, right?
Exactly.
And it's not the same thing.
That's right.
And I think sometimes we put people in a box. Who mm-hmm. are you? Or no, what do you do? Oh, I'm an assistant of this, right? And then people put this little box around you. Well, that's what you do,
mm-hmm.
right? But that's not really who they are. And
that's
when
right.
you discover it, like I'm sitting here talking to you right now, I'm learning about a person who's done has done many things.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you? You're defined by the many things that you've done over a lifetime of a career.
That's so true.
Yeah. So I don't know, just sort of an observation on my side, if it means anything or not. But I think it's often a good question to sort of ask.
And just to add to that, I remember in the days working at Sears, which unfortunately is no longer around. I remember working there as a sales clerk thinking, how will this benefit me? I was going to university at the time, working part-time in sales. I think, how will this ever benefit? And now I think back and I think really that's the core of learning communication and difficult people and all the things that I had to deal with in that role helped me who I am today.
Yeah.
Right?
I often tell the story about working at Family Fair Foods in Waverly Heights for 3 years when I was between 16 and 19 years of age, and working for Tony and Ralph, my two Italian bosses. In retrospect, when I look back at that now, I learned so much from both of them. Mm-hmm. Like, it was an invaluable experience. And in retrospect, they became my mentors.
Right.
This is Richard Lanfer, Set for Success. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the organization that Carol represents. Hello, everyone. And I'm hanging out today with Carol Paul. I find your name so interesting to say because I have to say something. And I'm doing it on the show. But it's like two first names, right? And so I always hesitate before I say your name because, yeah. Do you get that a lot?
Of course I do. My husband gets it worse.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay. What's your husband's name?
Brent Paul.
Brent Paul.
So sometimes they write it reversed, you know, Paul for an airplane Brent. Ticket or something. Yeah, yeah. So it's Paul yeah. Brent. Yeah.
So he's always trying to prove who he is because his ID would be different than some of the things.
That's right.
You know, tickets and stuff like that.
Yes.
I mean, there's today's security. That could be a bit of an issue.
For sure.
I'm sort of sidestepping what we were talking about. We're actually going to talk about the organization that you're the executive director of. What is the organization that you're executive director of?
Okay. It's the Manitoba Construction Sector Council. We have been around since 2009.
Okay.
Our board members are made up of the Winnipeg Construction Association, Manitoba Heavy Construction Association, Manitoba Home Builders, and Manitoba Building Trades. So they make up the commercial, the road builders, and the home builder industries.
Okay, so sort of the infrastructure. I always like to think about residential versus infrastructure.
Exactly.
Or sometimes you divide it residential, commercial, and infrastructure.
Right.
Is that?
And they call it heavy. And yeah. I know when I first started, I had no idea what heavy meant.
What they were talking about.
Yeah.
Well, either A, heavy metal, or B, sorry, couldn't help that, just big equipment.
Right.
Is that what they mean by heavy?
Yes.
So I'm going to ask. So if we're talking about heavy, what kind of equipment might we be talking about?
Or
what
we do heavy equipment. Heavy equipment operator training, it could be. Now, certainly Manitoba Building Trades, the operating engineers also do heavy equipment, but Manitoba Heavy Construction Association also offers heavy equipment operator training through the sector council.
So this would be like bulldozers and backhoes, yep. And that's as far as it goes.
That's right. And, you know, yeah.
Big pickup, big trucks.
Yeah. And we're currently involved in a project with drilling and blasting as well.
Okay.
We've secured four drilling simulators.
Yes.
And we'll be offering heavy equipment operator training, drilling and blasting training in northern Manitoba, where they're actually building eight schools.
They're building eight schools.
In Indigenous communities.
So one of the first things I have to say is you're training people how to blow stuff up.
Isn't that cool? Until they see the manual and all the works involved.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, that kind of situation is highly regulated because, you know, again, you're blowing stuff up.
Right.
But at the same point in time, I can imagine that the people who are getting involved in this thinking to themselves, ooh, the stuff I used to play with when I was a kid, I get to do now as an adult.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just amazing at the sector council how the pieces have all come together.
Yeah.
You know, 3 years ago when I was writing the drilling and blasting curriculum with Austin Powder and Hugh Monroe, and to come to a point there that they said, you know, we need simulators, and then to secure funding for simulators. And next thing you know, we have projects within First Nations communities that require blasting, drilling, and heavy equipment operation. So all the pieces have come together in the last 3 years.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, I mean, because you said you started in 2009,
mm-hmm.
right? And then, so really, I mean, that's 7 years, 8 years?
Yeah.
Eight years.
Right.
Or 9 years, sorry, 9 years.
Yeah, right? And I've just been involved as executive directors for the last four. I was the director of education and training for two prior to that.
Okay. Yeah. So you're involved in that respect. So let's just step back again, because I don't know if I've clearly answered or asked this question. What exactly does your organization do?
For sure. We are responsible for the education and training needs of the construction industry,
okay.
Primarily focused on the needs of underrepresented groups in Manitoba.
Okay, so that's very, very specific. That's a lot. That's a very specific mandate. And that's, I guess, why those other organizations are part of the board of directors?
So they're the board that guides the direction of the sector council.
Yeah, yeah. And you're sort of like the central area where you offer training related to those other organizations.
Right. So industry will come to me and say, for example, Manitoba Home Builders Association came to us and said, we need framers, we need finishers, we need concrete finishers. And I said, okay, well, let's develop curriculum that meets the needs of those careers.
Right.
So what Lanny McGinnis refers to as micro courses, because some individuals are not ready for the apprenticeship program. They need stepping stones to get to where they're going. So what we've done is to create a course, a 12-week course for framers. So we teach Indigenous adults with funding through First Peoples Development Incorporated. We teach them how to be a framer. That will then lead them into the carpentry apprenticeship program if that's a good fit. Not everybody wants to commit to a four-year program. And if you haven't worked ever, or if you have been out of work and returning to work, a 12-week training program is perfect. And at the end of it, they know how to be a framer.
Yeah, they can do, I hate to say that one task. Maybe it's the better way to put it is that one activity.
Yes.
Right? As but, opposed to task, because there's many tasks inside of an activity and that of a framer. So they understand how to do that.
And it's the language of industry.
Yes.
Industry doesn't understand when you say, I've completed a pre-employment program. What does that mean?
It means nothing.
Right.
Right.
So when we have
a
certificate.
You know how to write a resume.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So now, and yet it could be a quite extensive program.
Yes.
But, you know, so if they have a certificate that says framer, the employer will hire them because they know the skills that they know and can do.
Yeah. So that, and they understand that they're, I'm going to say junior framer.
Yes.
Because they've just gone through the program. So there's still things they need to learn.
Right.
Because it's the combination between, so being an educator, my view on this would be there's the combination of things that you've learned during the program, but then there's real life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And those two have to sort of mesh at some point in
right.
time.
And we're fortunate our colleges recognize our courses, and now we're working with Manitoba Education and Training to have students recognized for prior learning so they get a credit in their mature student status high school diploma.
Okay.
So I want to make sure that whatever course you take, it's a stepping stone towards something else, that it's not a dead end.
Yeah.
Too often certificates, that's the end of the road, and then you don't know where to go next.
No.
At the Sector Council, we want to make sure that you know what the next step is and how to get there. And if the path that you're on is not the one you want to be on, we'll help guide you into the path that you want to be on.
So that's actually an interesting, because my next question was basically, so what if you're working with somebody who did do the framer certificate program, but then they realized they'd be better suited somewhere else.
And that's happened.
So
we had an individual who has found employment with a MG Electric, right? That he wanted to be an electrician. So he said, that's not a problem because the skills that you're learning as a framer are transferable to any career. We've had other students that say, I want to be a heavy equipment operator. So then we would guide them into programs that offer that type of training. And that's the advantage of these micro courses. They're stepping stones towards that.
Yeah. So they give them the base skills and then they go out and get practical work experience. And then from there, they can, this is how I'm interpreting what
you're
saying.
That's right. Yeah. A mandatory part of our course is job readiness. So all students have to take a 3-week job readiness to learn about work ethic, professionalism, stress management, how to budget now that you have the money.
Yeah.
So that's an important part that leads into our technical training.
That makes a lot of sense, actually, looking at that. I just had a moment where I was thinking about the videos I watched on your website. And it looks like you have a number of people, like the one that stuck out to me was Nina the bricklayer, you know, and sort of like just learning how to be a bricklayer. Fascinating.
Right. Yeah, and we're working on developing a Trade Talk video series so that youth could go onto our Trade Up Manitoba website and see all the career possibilities. So these short 2 to 3 minute segment videos, we are fortunate Manitoba Building Trades paid for 13 of them, so that each trade is represented on those videos. And we really try to have underrepresented people on those videos. So like Nina being a young woman in bricklaying, we're hoping that it will inspire other young women to follow her lead.
To look at that. And I think that's what I was looking at too, because I think gone are the days of, oh, this is a man's job, this is a woman's job, whatever language you want to use. It's really more this is a person's job. And if you have the skills, the qualifications, the aptitude and the attitude for it, why can't you do it?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, yeah.
And part of our mandate is to go into schools and do high school presentations. So James Murphy is our community and youth liaison. He goes into schools and presents these videos and talks to the students about the opportunities within the construction industry.
Oh, right on. Absolutely fascinating. I think the work that you're doing in terms of some of the communities you said you were involved in, incredibly needed. This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I am hanging out with Carol Paul, and Carol Paul is of the Manitoba Construction Sector Council, the Executive Director. And last segment, we were talking about all the really cool stuff you were doing. I mean, I had these visions of people, you know, getting to work with big vehicles for the first time, or getting to learn how to blow up, you know, things up, rock up, or learning how to take something from a foundation and put in walls and frame it all up and everything, and seeing the fruits of your labor. Is that the old expression?
Isn't that true?
Isn't that so true, right? It's something, there must be something really rewarding about that. For the groups that you're focusing on working on, suddenly seeing what they've achieved and accomplished, and it's right there physically in front of them. You know, my son, I'm sorry, I'm telling you a little bit of story too. My son works in construction, and he points out all the different buildings he's worked on. I helped build that.
Yes.
And he does it with pride. So if you're listening in and you're doing work with this organization and you're doing stuff, I bet you're doing it with pride. Having said that, I got to think that you're a very innovative organization, and having looked at your website and looked at some of the videos and everything, there must be a lot of technology involved. And you've talked about simulators and things. Tell us a little bit about maybe some of the technologies or some of the stuff you're doing that's been very innovative.
For sure. As I said, I've been in this role for the last 4 years. And when I started, it was, you know, at run with our core funding through industry services. But I knew in order to sustain us as a sector council going forward, that we would really need to look beyond industry services funding. And that was challenging and yet exciting to me, because it was an opportunity for me to look outside of what was mandated and look to external funding sources. So we currently have three projects right now in relation to technology. You mentioned the Workers' Compensation Board Research Workplace and Innovation Program. I thought my title was long.
That's a pretty big one.
I wrote three proposals to secure funding to support the associations on our board. So the first one was with the Manitoba Heavy Construction Association. So in partnership with my technology team at Bitspace Development, we developed four safety courses. So that was, we did personal protective equipment, road builder safety, flag person training, and prime contractor. Because the safety associations were challenged with, you know, really just teaching courses that were heavy in legislation and heavy in text. So as you can imagine, you'd have participants in the classroom who'd be falling asleep.
Yep.
So with the technology, I said, we've got to go after the money through WCB in order to make it engaging. Because I recognized if we were able to use technology like virtual reality, we could virtually put a person in the work site so that they could walk around the work site, look up and down and all around to see what it looks like. And information pops up to teach them about, for example, the hazards. With those four projects, we've used all different kinds of technology. Another one is the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and that is for youth new entrants. So one of the youths said to me, you know, Carol, it's kind of like real life. You look up and down and all around to learn about the hazards, and that's what you have to do on the job site too. So it's really applicable to practice, and students are engaged. They're loving the technology, and that's how youth learn today, right? Is that technology.
They have it with them all the time. I mean, you just look at the one device, the smartphone.
Yes.
So we can just talk about that.
Yeah.
And you look at how many ways you use that, you know, everything from watching videos to educate yourself on, watching movies, reading what would traditionally newspapers,
yep,
looking at different media feeds, watching your physical fitness. I mean, your finances, you know, you talked about teaching some of the people that you're working with about how to budget and how to manage the money now that they're making it, right?
Right.
You know, and so technology is such a big part of our lives that, you know, you're just taking it to that next level, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And they can actually use their phones and download the app.
Yes.
And then, I mean, when they get home, they can say to their kids or their brother or whoever and say, look, this is really cool. I learned this at school today.
Yes.
And how better, you know, you can learn something by teaching somebody else. And that's always the best way to learn, too, because it's really cool. It's really innovative and it's fun. So it's in learning by trial and error, like they're going through a game and they're practicing a skill. It's the best way to learn.
Yeah, I know that I was playing with a simulator too, a welding simulator,
yeah,
and it's a very much a similar thing. And then you talked about which organization, Bitspace Development. I know the owner very well. He's been on my show a couple of times, and you look at some of the interesting things that they're doing and bringing to the game in the area of artificial intelligence. and with the organizations that they're associated with. Mm-hmm. So that's all really quite, we're going to use the word innovative, but allowing students to grow and develop.
Yeah, and Dan's really good at trying to keep me 2 to 3 years ahead of the curve. So that's what we're always trying to do, is looking at, okay, what's next? And the Sector Council is fortunate to have secured these simulators. In addition, we now have the iPads, the VR headsets, and everything we need to support the safety associations that now have this technology to use in the classrooms.
Yeah, awesome. If somebody wanted to learn more about your organization, how would they go about connecting with you guys?
Just check out our website at www.mbcsc.com. And all our contact information is in there.
What's your phone number?
It is 204-272-5092.
Oh, thank you very much. A couple of questions for you. Okay, so I want to see where you go with these particular questions. What is something that you want to achieve?
Something I want to achieve is making a difference in the Indigenous communities where we work. Having worked in the communities since the 1980s, to me it's just so inspiring to see all the supports now that are going into the communities, that now we're seeing construction companies coming from these, you know, companies like Iron North and Split Lake that have a surplus of social assistance dollars as a result of their company being built up and employing all these individuals. And it's just so exciting to be a part of that.
What is something you want to protect?
Something you want to protect. I guess the image of the Manitoba Construction Sector Council as a quality organization and one that's passionate about what we can do.
Yeah, that's fair enough. If there was one thing in life that you could eliminate, what would that be?
I think the idea of owning curriculum and keeping it to oneself. Educators are, I shouldn't say just say educators, but many people who create really innovative things want to keep them to themselves. And I think it's so important that we share that, you know, we want to bring up the entire construction industry and make it a better place for everybody. And we can do that by sharing and collaboration and partnerships.
That's an excellent response. Being somebody who works in what we call IP or IC, intellectual capital or intellectual property, because that's what you're talking about. With technology today and the way information moves around, once it's out there, you no longer own it.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of institutions, this is opinion, I think that's where a lot of institutions fail today. They think that what they create, they own, and they don't.
Exactly.
And it hasn't caught up yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's exciting. I'm working with Swan River now, a school division and Frontier School Division, and they're passionate about what they do. And it's great to be able to add, value add in terms of our curriculum and our technology to support their training.
What a show we've been having. You are actually an awesome guest. So I want to ask you a final question here. If there was one thing you could change, either personally or business-wise, what would it be?
Oh, on the spot. One thing I could change. I think really looking at people as individuals and really valuing difference and being outside of the box is okay. You don't have to fit in. You want to be yourself.
All right. I think that's a great response. I'm always interested to see what people say this. I want to take this opportunity, Carol, to thank you for joining me. You've been an absolutely great guest. So thank you for coming on the show. And of course, listeners, thank you for joining us too. It's always so important. If you have an idea, thought, a guest you'd like to have on the show, a topic you'd like me to cover, send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And I want you to do something. I want you to remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.